Here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, David Wills, and I'm joined this week not only by Scott Goble, but also by Michael Galley. It's the 31st of December 2013. Boys, before we launch into it, I want to mention this episode is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, I'll start with Scotty. How are you doing this week, mate?
I'm doing well, mate. We've had a little bit of news on the personal front with the engagement. So, yes. That's obviously the highlight. And I went to her sister's wedding yesterday, and it was just a nice, discreet little ceremony with 520 people.
Oh, jeez. That's a lot.
Yeah. So that's what I've got to look forward to. So we figure she's got about a mandatory 250 that she has to invite to her wedding, and I reckon I get scraped together about 40.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. I know people will be wanting to... me to ask the story and stuff behind the proposal and stuff, but I understand I'm not allowed.
Oh, look, there's some things that need to remain personal. So, yeah, it wasn't actually how it was originally planned. I was going to do something very romantic, but due to some of her family wanting to be around when I proposed, I just had to pull out a spontaneous proposal. So, yeah, I did it with I can't remember if it was Miami. LA Lakers on the TV in the background, if we'd moved on to the Houston Rockets and San Antonio at that stage. But it wasn't quite the romantic setting of, you know, underneath the Eiffel Tower or anything like that.
No. I had some money on those games, and I actually picked a lot of them, and I was very upset. Like, I had a multi-bet, and it was like five legs, and I lost the last one. So, but anyway, yeah. Mick, you haven't been proposing anyone this week?
Mate, not this week, no, but I feel privileged to know the real... the real story behind Scott's proposal, and I can only try to top that in hopefully the near future.
Mate, good luck with that. I enjoyed that one.
Congratulations to Scott. That's awesome news, and she's a great girl. I met her when we were at the Olympia together, and yeah, happy days ahead.
Yeah, now this show, we've got a special show this week. I did up the little picture that Scotty wasn't too happy with the underscale Scott Goble there.
Yeah, I'm looking up at everyone. I'm the smallest bloke there.
It's because your hands are in the air. I wanted everyone to be kind of level, and I didn't want your... Yeah, I just wanted everyone to be...
Just so you know, Scott, I had no part in that whatsoever of putting that together.
Mick was wanting to... He said, make me taller than everyone. But anyway, we've got that up, and yeah, it's going to be a big show. We're doing our top five Australian stories of 2013 and our top five international stories of 2013. And we're going to kind of go over each one and talk about, we had a bit of a debate where some short stories should fall and things like that, but we've kind of skimmed through everything. And the thing is, we don't want, like, I mean, Pro Bodybuilding Worldwide did this kind of, they did top 10 stories of 2013. I feel like they went for a lot of very... I suppose, safe options or politically correct options, maybe. But this one, we've kind of got some more interesting stuff in there, I think, as well. So we kick it off with the international one, guys, or was it the Australian?
Either or.
We'll kick off with... Mick, what was it? I can't remember.
You're the boss, Ace. Come on. Oh. Come into us.
Okay, we'll kick off with the Australian stories. Now, coming at number five is Steve Orton in Australia. Now, I mean, it's kind of strange that we have a New Zealander coming in at number five on that list. But Steve, shocked the Australian scene in bodybuilding because he came over and did that NABBA International comp. And there's a lot of hype with him coming in because we saw all the pictures when he competed a year or two before and he looked absolutely shredded and insane there. And I heard some of those pictures were slightly enhanced and things like that. But when he got to Australia, he had packed on a lot of muscle even since then. And he's only about, I think he's 23 years old, I'm pretty sure Steve is. So he's like, you know, junior type age. He comes over and he pretty much, you know, he wins his NABBA International, and I heard it was close, or at least somewhat close. And but from what he tells me, he was squatting, I think something like 300 kilos the day before the show. So he was really using that as a warm up and a qualifying for the Southerns. And he goes on, I think it was 2 weeks later, and wins not only his class at the Southerns but the Southerns overall against a very good Jake Nikolopoulos. I mean, and then obviously after that, I think it was 2 weeks after that. Then he goes on to the Worlds, and not only wins his class there and wins the overall. So, I mean, it was a massive, massive year for Steve, and a lot of people were dubbing him, you know, the next kind of big IFB pro coming out of Australia and New Zealand. And, I mean, you know, seeing the way he looks and the crazy thickness and stuff he has to his legs, I mean, there's no wonder why. And obviously we saw that, all of us saw that at the Southern Hemispheres. But Mick, what kind of ceiling do you see on Steve Orton?
Mate, to be honest with you, I didn't know much about Steve at all until he came over here and won that international, and I just skimmed through a few photos. And then, luckily enough, he was staying, he'd come over to the Mass facility, and I know Chris Thomas was helping him out a lot. So I got to know him a bit more there, and mate, not only a fantastic physique, but a great guy, and I think he took that Southerns quite convincingly. Even though Jake was good, I think Jake last year was better. Those legs and glute and hammy tines of Steve's are just incredible. Then obviously he's gone overseas and won again. I mean, this kid's got a massive future.
Yeah, definitely, and he's got that crazy thickness. I mean, he's got obviously areas that he can work on, but Scott, I mean, it's an amazing year for, I think, a 23-year-old to come out, and we were fortunate enough to have a few interviews with him. I mean, I interviewed him before, I think it was before all the shows, or after the NABBA International, and then obviously after his win at the Worlds. So, I mean, it was a massive year for Steve.
Yeah, it was massive. One guy to come over here who was nothing really but a New Zealand junior, and to just shake shit up and beat Jake, who's been the reigning NABBA champion for a couple of years, was pretty awesome. And he did beat him convincingly in my eyes when they stood next to each other. No one really dwarfs Jake, but he truly overpowered him with size. And his side leg shots are just world class, like just IFBB pro ready. There's a couple little spots on his physique that need to come up to match that, but man, there's no denying just ridiculous potential, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and he was just, yeah, for me, if he was Australian, he would probably be almost the number one story. So just the fact that he's a New Zealander, we couldn't quite give him like a high placing, but he came to Australia and obviously tore things up over here. But coming in at number four, Christine Enville's comeback. Now, this was pretty massive because she fully tore a tricep, but, you know, you never stop seeing pictures of her training in the gym, doing her legs and things like that. And we know Christine already has, like, fantastic calves and legs and things like that. But she came back from that injury and she, you know, kept training. And, I mean, it came back and you couldn't tell which one was the torn tricep. And, I mean, you can just, I don't know, just by looking at Christine and by her physique and stuff like that, you can just tell she's a hard worker. She's obviously got Troy Bremner, which is a partner, encouraging her and pushing her and stuff like that. But, Scotty, I mean, it was a pretty amazing comeback with, you know, a 7th place finish at the Chicago Pro Championships, 14th place finish at the Tampa Pro, where she got, in my eyes, a very much raw deal, and an 11th place at the Toronto Pro, where I think she also probably got a slightly raw deal there as well. So it was a very successful comeback, Scott.
It was a very successful comeback. I can't remember how long she was out for exactly. One of you guys maybe will know, but it's, you know, it was like 6 years or 8 years or something ridiculous. So
I believe it was 2005 when the last contest was, or 2006 or something. So
8 years ago, and the real aficionados of women's bodybuilding would remember her back then as actually getting marked down for being too big and muscular. They had a little bit of a crackdown back then, and she was penalised, so she was kind of lost in the wilderness there for a while. But now that they've got the physique division of the women's bodybuilding and they're rewarding that crazy size, it looked like she had an opening, and she showed that she can hang with the top girls, and with a little bit more polish and a little bit more refinement and her peaking procedures all nutted out, she's going to go back next year, and that's pretty exciting for women's bodybuilding and men's bodybuilding in Australia, I think, to have someone on that level, mixing it up in multiple international comps. I think that was the thing that impressed me most, is how many comps she did back-to-back and actually improved.
Exactly, and she did improve every single one. Like, and it was 3 contests, but they were spaced out. Like, I think there was only 5 or so female bodybuilding pro shows, or 6 female bodybuilding pro shows for the year. So these comps weren't like week after week. I mean, there was maybe 2 that were 3 weeks apart, and then there's another one that was like another 5 or something. So to hold your peak and even improve over, like, you know, 8 or 9 weeks, I mean that definitely would not be a fun time with traveling to the States and Toronto and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, Mick, that's I don't know if you've ever held your peak for that long, but that's pretty crazy.
I'm lucky to hold it for one comp. mate, I think we spoke about her a fair bit in those comps, and we'd placed her a lot higher than what she eventually came. And you got to remember, she went over there, well, not necessarily by herself, she had friends over there, but she went out over there without Troy, her husband, who's, I mean, he's helped her out tremendously in her career. And I just think, coming back from that tricep injury, like you said, you can't even really tell that it's actually happened. And she's gotten better and better with age. So I see her and Troy a bit because they look after me with X2X clothing. So I go up to their international protein factory every now and then, and she's always in shape, very committed to what she does, but she's extremely smart as well.
Yeah, she's very smart. I mean, I've had Facebook conversations and stuff like that with her, and obviously Troy as well, he's giving me calls. And then we've talked about, you know, they've talked about all the procedures and stuff like that at International Protein. They're not just switched on in terms of nutrition and stuff, they're switched on in terms of business and all that kind of stuff as well, and delivering a good product. And they're obviously a great sponsor of RX Muscle Australia, and she's not in there for that reason as well. I mean, if we wanted to, she's going to be in there regardless, so if we wanted to kind of suck ass a bit more, we would maybe would have put her a bit higher. But she falls in at number four spot. Now, we've got obviously another Aussie in here, Jake Nikolopoulos, and his win at the Worlds. Now, you'd think probably Steve might be above him because he won the overall, but Jake, I mean, it's been a long time since Australian has won, I believe, a world title with Nabba, and he goes over there, and he did get second. Obviously, he would have got second in the overall at the Southerns, and he, you know, backs it up and goes over there and wins his class at the Worlds, and, you know, it's a real credit to, you know, he worked away, and some people said, oh, yeah, he wasn't quite as good as last year or whatever, but he did bring that level of conditioning that we have wanted to see. He might have been not quite as big at the Summons, and you know, he did have a considerable amount of time off after his last shows last year, and maybe that was the reason why he wasn't quite as full, but he seemed to improve from the Summons to the Worlds. Mick.
Is that Mick?
Yeah, that's Mick, sorry. I'm beginning to throw it to people. I'm used to just one person.
Yeah, come on, Zaves. Mate, Jake's actually one bodybuilder, and there's not many that I don't know, but I don't know Jake at all, and was slightly introduced back at the Southerns, and from all reports I've heard, he's a great guy. But, mate, yeah, awesome to see someone go over there and win such a big title like that. And I think he might have been throwing up what he was going to do with his career after this to come to the IFBB, but now that the NAB has brought back the pro classes, that looks like what he's going to do next year. But, yeah, definitely Jake's got a great physique, brought the conditioning to the Southerns that we saw. I still feel I liked the year before he had that bigger, thicker look, but he lacked that condition he brought this year. So I guess if he can bring both of those things next year, the fullness, the size, and that hardness, he's going to look unreal.
Yeah, his fullness and hardness that he brought to the Worlds last year, where he placed third, and it was in a very extremely tough class. It seemed like it was probably a slightly tougher class last year. That was the kind of fullness we need to see, and like he seemed to be in good condition there, and maybe could have been a tiny touch tighter, but he looked really good there. How do you compare last year's Jake compared to this year's Jake Scott?
I think it's exactly as you guys alluded, that he was more conditioned this year and he was bigger and fuller last year. So, the combination of the two is going to be very, very hard to beat. But he certainly didn't just sneak through with an easy class. He beat guys that had world championships and had universe titles before. So he beat some real high-caliber international competitors to win that. And he did it by bringing awesome conditioning, and I'm really happy for him, because that's the one thing I've maybe been critical about in the past, is that he gets 95% of the way there but hasn't just, you know, battled for that last crisp dry look, and he brought it this year, so he did what he had to do to win. So I've got nothing but good things to say about Jake. He's a great guy. He's not an attention seeker. He's just a hard worker that sits back and does what needs to be done. So congratulations to him. It was an awesome win.
Yeah, definitely. Massive congratulations for me as well, because he's... I remember the time when we went around to his place, got him before the Nabba International, and, I mean, there's a guy, you know, the day of a show, and he couldn't have been happier. So it's like, you don't get that too often. And, you know, he was very easy to deal with and stuff like that. I mean, we know probably a lot of bodybuilders out there that would be just an absolute pain in the ass in that same situation. But moving on now, we're going to be talking about Jake's... probably one of Jake's best mates and mentors, Lee Priest, and his comeback. And also, there's probably a few stories that could have been in here about Lee Priest this year. But Lee Priest makes a comeback. He makes a comeback at the Universe, wins Class 4, and not only Class 4, but he wins the overall and turns Nabba Pro, because they've got that Pro League now. I mean, this was an impressive comeback. I mean, it was risky for Lee. You know, if he came back and didn't win the overall, people would have jumped on him. I mean, it would have hurt him in terms of possibly, you know, maybe picking up a few sponsors and things like that. I'm not too sure, but Mick, it was an impressive comeback.
Mate, it was. I mean, there's no denying the fact there's no love lost between me and Lee, that's for sure. I was a fan of Lee way back when he turned pro, which was in 93, and got to see him train a fair bit when he was in Australia. At the end of the day, all things aside, I was keen to see how he'd come in his comeback and just see if he could come anywhere near. I think his last pro show, which that federation he went with, I think it was a PDI.
PDI.
Yeah, in 2007. So it's been a long, long time between shows. Mate, he brought the conditioning, even the conditioning in his hamstrings and glutes was almost, I mean, it was up there with the best I'd ever seen of him. Probably downsized a little bit in certain areas that were his lagging parts anyway, like his chest and his back, but I mean, overall, it's a pretty successful comeback, and I don't know what his plans are from here. I don't know if that was a one-off thing or not, but I guess we'll see you next year.
Yeah, and something I found, like you said, his hamstrings and glutes, that was always, he always hopped up for that in his career, and he kind of came back with the, you know, it's not a glute contest and things like that, but it was obviously noticeable in a lot of shows that his hamstrings weren't that hard as well, and I thought that was actually the hardest I've ever seen them from any photos and video I've seen.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know if Scott saw this show as well, but Scotty, did you see when he won the Australian Pro?
And he beat Chris Cormier?
Yeah.
He was on the money there. That was his best ever.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, his glutes and hamstrings. I'll never forget when he turned around. I was like, whoa, I've never seen that before. That was
so you really brought him there as well?
Oh, yeah, that was insane condition.
I was thinking it might have been an age type thing where, I don't know, just by, you know, about 6 years or whatever that he had off, maybe he could just have the ability to bring that in, I don't know. But, Scotty, I mean, it was an impressive package. Was you impressed?
Yeah, I was impressed. And exactly like you said, he was a little bit smaller, but near his best from a conditioning standpoint, if not his best. The thing I really liked about it is that Lee's got such a name and such a profile in the industry that he doesn't have to compete. He's got earning potential regardless. He can get sponsorships and be taken care of. So he did it, obviously, because he loves it. And he sought out the highest caliber competition that he was eligible to compete in, and he won it. So you can't really ask for more than that. So now I'm a bodybuilding fan. I'm a fan of Lee Priest the bodybuilder, if not Lee Priest the social media instigator. so I'm looking forward to seeing him compete at that pro level and going up a notch again. So it was a massive, massive win. Overall, Universe is nothing to be sneezed at.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Lee's deceiving. I mean, when he wears a t-shirt and stuff like that, you see his crazy forearms and arms and stuff pop out, but he's not the tallest guy and stuff like that. And, you know, you think, oh, maybe he's downsized a bit, but when he's on stage, it doesn't matter. He looks absolutely insane. But there's kind of a bit of a caveat to that one. And we had a bit of a story. This was up at the Southerns, where there was a big rumour. I had about five or six messages on my phone saying, Lee Priest is competing tomorrow, Lee's probably competing tomorrow, and all this other stuff. And I had it from some reliable sources, or what I thought was reliable sources anyway. And I had a lot of people telling me this, and I tried to get in contact with Brooke, who was his partner at the time, and she said basically no comment type thing. There's kind of, I had a feeling that, you know, it was a 50-50 or something like that, but he was all tanned up, but apparently he's doing a photo shoot. So, you know, it was kind of like he's all tanned up and he's going to make a comeback at the Southerns or something, and he's going to do the Worlds. But that wasn't the case, obviously, and it was kind of a rumour. I did an article up on RX Muscle Australia, and I did it up as a rumour article. And I said, you know, will Lee compete? You know, as a question mark. And I think people, when a rumour goes up like that, people take it as gospel, like he is competing. And people were actually upset at me about that. So I found that kind of entertaining. But that was a big rumour floating around, Mick. Did you think that was actually going to happen?
I had no idea, mate. I was like, I text Brooke, and Brooke just laughed and said he will never do anything for RX. I'm like, okay. But do you remember dinner that night with me, you and Logan and Aaron?
Yes, I remember it, yes.
Wow. If looks could kill. I don't know what I've done here over the years, but, oh man. Anyway.
Yeah, I understand. Now, Scotty, did you hear this rumour? Was it floating around? Did you notice it before I put it up?
I pretty much as soon as I heard it, I was already up there, and I think one of the first people I spoke to was Craig Lucas and Phil Kabakoff, and they told me that they were the ones that decided to start the rumour after saying at the photo shoot that he looked good enough to compete. And I can't remember how they did it, but they just leaked it out somewhere, and I remember asking Mark Ryan, and Mark Ryan just shook his head a little bit embarrassed because he was sort of stuck in this position where he might be selling a few more extra tickets, but he didn't want to do so on the basis of a lie and a rumour. So it was pretty funny. The guys just did it for shits and giggles, and Lee is obviously always up for something like that. So, yeah, I heard the rumour, but it was nixed pretty much straight away from me.
Yeah, and it was funny. I mean, some people were kind of upset. I mean, I had a lot of people asking me, because it went up, and that article got a ridiculous amount of hits. So, I mean, I didn't mind too much, and it was a legitimate rumour, because I had people, I won't name names, but I had a lot of people in the industry and stuff texting me, telling me, it's going to happen. Like it's happening. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll write a rumour article about that.
If you see the photos that Dallas put up, I think it was in that Batman costume or whatever it was of Lee. I mean, he was in great shape. There's no doubting that.
Yeah, and I had people tell me he was at weigh-ins, he was tanned up, and I was like, well, this just seems just too strange to maybe not happen. But
Craig Lucas would have loved being in on this joke, too.
Oh, yeah. He's already listening to this now, just rubbing his hands.
Oh, off. Yeah. Going to cut this off.
But anyway, that's our top. We've got one more, sorry. Now, the number one story in the Australian bodybuilding for the year. I mean, you can't go past the pro qualifier in FedEx. This was the biggest ever. Like, I mean, this was absolutely massive. There's nothing outdoing this contest in this weekend in Australia. I mean, it's become the premier weekend, I think, among bodybuilders in Australia. I mean, this one definitely didn't disappoint, did it, Scotty?
No, it didn't. I mean, it's probably been the premier weekend for a while because you've got the pro show down here. But for the first time ever, you had a really deep pro qualifier lineup for the men's bodybuilding. And there's a few guys that could have potentially won it. There was heaps and heaps of hype leading up to it. There was a little bit of tension and everything else. So it was a really cool event to be involved in. And, yeah, on the day, Luke Shembri brought the best package he ever had. He brought the Luke Shembri that people have been talking about for years. You know, what if he absolutely nailed it and kept all that freaky size? And he did that. I think he won it really easily. I don't think there was a single guy on that stage that even at their best could have beaten him. And then he went on to jump on the pro stage and beat one 57-year-old New Zealander who was probably about 74 kilos.
But, yeah, Luke, I mean, for me, Luke did not look that out of place on that pro stage. I mean, he was cut to, like, he was just absolutely granite hard. I don't know, he had a different look to a lot of the pros. He was just granite hard and he was proportionately really good and he had nothing that lagged but nothing that really, on a pro stage, blew you away like crazy. But, I mean, man, he was impressive. He just absolutely shocked me. And obviously the other winners there as well, pro cards, we had Asha Pryor in the figure. That was a close one. And we had Nina Cilic in the bikini, another WA bikini girl, which is not too unusual. But, yeah, both girls obviously went on to compete in the pros as well. And yeah, they obviously did quite well. And Dexter Jackson, he brought his... I had Dave Palumbo and Aaron Singer and stuff saying that it was one of the best Dexters they've actually ever seen here in Australia. And they said he looked better than he did at the Arnold. But what did you think of Dexter Jackson that came to FedEx, Mick?
To be honest, I actually missed the whole pro show.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I hate to say it. It definitely won't be next year. But, mate, all I've got to say was the last time I actually went down and saw this sort of show, it was in 2010, believe it or not. So, I don't know if Scotty remember that, because I think I was sitting with Scotty and Al Reddy at the time, up just at the front of the show. Mate, to fast forward 3 years and see it now, like back then there was a couple of little stores out the front, that was it. What Tony's done in such a short space of time is incredible. And to see the calibre of athletes there and everyone just coming from Australia wide and then all the, you know, a lot of the top athletes from overseas joining in there as well. I mean, I can't wait till next year to be front and centre and watch the whole thing unfold again. It's going to be bigger and bigger. Yeah. Then to see Luke obviously win his pro card, I agree exactly with what you guys have just said. That's the best I've ever seen him. He seemed to combine everything quite well, the fullness, the hardness. He seemed a lot more confident than when I've seen him in other shows backstage. It was really good to see such a guy like that get his pro card.
Yeah, definitely. And he was definitely deserving. And you two guys were obviously a part of it. You both were in pro qualifier. Now, what was it, I mean, Scotty, I'll ask you first, but what was it like to be a part of, like, that weekend in terms of competing? Like, how different is it, I suppose, compared to being a spectator?
it's not nearly as much fun. I would love to go to FedEx as just a spectator. I've never actually just been able to sit back and enjoy the weekend. I've always been working or now competing. So, man, I don't even know what it's like on the other side because it's the most stressful weekend of the year for me, as a general rule. So, I just look around and I just see amazing things going on everywhere, whether it be the strongman or the CrossFit or the, you know, martial arts displays. There's all sorts of crazy things going on. And the thing I love about it from a competitor standpoint is that I can invite family and friends and they can come along and have a really, really good time and not just be bored out of their brain sitting through 5 or 6 hours of bodybuilding, because the bodybuilding show itself is really fast-paced and there's so many other things that they can see and so many freebies they can scam. And absolutely everyone that goes there, whether they're enthusiasts or not, they're all keen to come again this year. So it's just a great event, and it really does have something for everyone. So FedEx is much, much more than just a bodybuilding show. I know Tony's 2014 will be crazy. Every year it's grown, but I think it's just taken another big step forward. So you've got to get him on the radio show soon. I guarantee you all the things he's releasing on Facebook, and it's already pretty exciting. It's just tip of the iceberg stuff.
I'm going to actually try to get him on. I might give him a call and try to get him on this show maybe even. But yeah, it's absolutely massive because it's just, I mean, it's my favourite weekend of the year, even though I'm working, and last year, two nights in a row, I was up till 4 a.m. editing stuff and under thumb a bit by Dave, and but getting all that stuff done. But, I mean, it was just awesome. Like, I mean, I got to obviously hang out with Dave Palumbo, which is like, was a dream of mine from years ago, and that was, so it was a massive highlight to me. And obviously, you know, being able to, you know, you kind of take it for granted, but, you know, get to talk to these pros and sit down in front. It's only something you dream of when you're younger, and for obviously all of us, we've all had that opportunity, you know, yourself, Scott, Mick and me, we all had that opportunity to talk to pro bodybuilders, which is something you don't get to do in many other sports. I mean, you don't, it's pretty rare that you get to, you know, go and hang out with an NBA player or something like that, but in bodybuilding, we're fortunate enough to be able to, you know, hang out with these, you know, bodybuilding celebrities, I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. No, Scott's hit the nail on the head perfectly. I know if I go to FedEx next year, and obviously I'm not competing, but I can take someone with me that loves bodybuilding or someone that doesn't really know anything about it, and they're going to have a great time. There's so much there for them to see and do, and it's obviously not just a bodybuilding comp. I can't wait for next year. As far as, I mean, not competing is going to be great. Just sit there up the front and watch all you guys go at it, and, you know, hopefully watch Big Scott take the overs and get his pro card. But for a competitor, it's, I mean, you know what it's like, Xavier. You're not really that social, and a lot of people are there that you know from around Australia, and you try and have conversations, but it's just one of those things. You do it because you sort of have to, and you're just being polite. The best thing about being on stage with some of those guys is, as much shit as we probably give each other on the forums or whatever, we've all known each other like a long, long time. So for me, it was awesome to get up on stage with guys that, you know, I've sort of, well, literally looked up to, and, you know, some of my best mates like Logan that as well. It's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it's when you're competing sometimes, I mean, it varies. Like sometimes you can be in a kind of good mood and feel pretty good when you're carved up and stuff like that. And sometimes you can be a little bit irritable and stuff like that. But it's, I think I'm going to find it hard to not feel happy and stuff at FedEx because it is such a massive event and there's going to be so much going on and there's going to be so many people around. And that's part of my enjoyment of the week and get to meet people and stuff like that and meet people that like RX and meet people that are just into bodybuilding and stuff. So that's probably one of my most enjoyable parts. But that's our top five. That's our top five Australian stories of 2013. Now, I just wanted, we had one that was kind of umming and ahhing whether to put in there, but Callum von Moger, who set out for the US, it was probably about a month or a bit longer ago now, he went over there, and he was going over there basically looking, you know, to kind of break into the bodybuilding scene, break into possibly the acting scene, maybe like some modelling, stuff like that. And I mean, through Facebook, I was seeing heaps of photo shoot stuff go up. Looked like he's really getting his name out there, and then the announcement came that he was signed by MD, now, which is Muscular Development, for those who don't know, which is, you know, obviously, it's obviously a rival of RX Muscle, so it's kind of weird that we're kind of putting this out there, but I mean, it's massive news for an Australian to be signed by a magazine such as MD, and the last guy to be signed by MD, last Australian guy, is Lee Priest, so I mean, it's a big deal, Mick.
I think it is, mate, and he's obviously he knew what he was doing going over there and sort of getting scouted around in Golds. And for a magazine like MD to pick him up like that, I mean, they obviously see a lot of potential in him. Whether or not it's going to be competing in the bodybuilding arena or if it's going to be the fitness side of it, I mean, who knows what his actual plans are. But, mate, at the end of the day, he's got a pretty nice contract.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Scotty, I mean, how big of a deal do you see this as? And do you think it's something that can really further Callum's career, or do you think that he might be an entity that maybe doesn't get used as much?
Who knows? I'm not sure of the duration or the finances involved in this, what he gets out of it. It could be massive. It could be the thing that catapults him to international fame and movies and everything else, or it could be 15 minutes of fame and he comes back here and he's had a wonderful experience in America and got to meet a lot of cool people and do a lot of cool stuff. So either way, it's pretty awesome for him. He's a marketable guy with a great physique, and he's getting out there and doing his best to make the most of it. So good on him.
Yeah, definitely. And we all kind of, I think it was all of us that kind of picked it and said how marketable he looked at the Southerns when he, I think he got third or something at the Southerns. I don't think he won. And,
I think we picked him to win, didn't
we? Yeah, I had him winning, so yeah. I kind of felt bad. But, we said he had such a marketable look, and he's obviously got, an awesome physique, and he's got some good muscle on there as well. So he's got a real look that could, he's still doesn't have too much muscle where he couldn't do the fitness-type modelling like the... but we see, maybe like Stan McQuaid did in the past and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm excited to see what McCallum does, going forward, because he's obviously had a successful trip to the US with all the kind of, I think he had a lot of auditions and things like that for acting jobs and stuff. So I'll be interested to hear if he picks up anything like that. So that's our top five and our honourable mention for our top five Australian stories of 2013. Now, guys, we're going to head to a break and we're going to be back in a couple minutes with our top five stories. International Stories 2013.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at mymusclechef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermoburn protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm Xavier Wills, and I'm joined by Scott Goble and Michael Galley, and we're here for our special segment, our top 5 international bodybuilding stories of 2013. Now, it's hard internationally to pack in 5 stories into what's been such a big year in bodybuilding. I mean, we had some crazy stuff happen and some crazy, highlights and standouts, and it's kind of hard to pack it all in, but I think we did a pretty good job of it. We got the main stories, the main highlights for us out there. So we're going to start at number 5, and this might be a controversial one because on Pro Bodybuilding Worldwide, they have this one at number 1, but almost out of respect, we're putting it in there because, what else is there to say? Now, this is Joe Weider's death. Now, this was, massive news, and it was, it saddened a lot of bodybuilding fans and stuff around the world because this guy is basically the guy that, almost, created bodybuilding and the IFBB and built it into what it kind of became. And he lived quite a long life, and it was the first Olympia without Joe Weider. So it was kind of a strange kind of Olympia because we normally see him get up on stage, it would be like a video tribute or something like that. Joe was kind of out of it for a while, Scotty, but what did you think about the whole thing and how he was, how they kind of showed respect and stuff to him at the Olympia?
I thought it was great that they showed respect to Joe at the Olympia. Joe made the IFBB, and the IFBB took bodybuilding to a whole other level. It gave us guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ronnie Coleman and Lee Haney and everyone else. Without Joe, it just wouldn't exist. The Weider Publishing Empire was the catalyst to promote bodybuilding and really bring it to a fore. So, yeah, Joe is probably the single most influential figure in the history of bodybuilding. The only one you could argue would be up there with him would be Arnold himself. So it was massive. My thing, I didn't really want this story to be any higher because the way I saw it is more related to the business of bodybuilding, and I'm getting a little bit more excited about the actual bodybuilders and the competitive aspect of it. But there's no doubting Joe's incredible influence, and while he's passing away, hasn't had any immediate impact. He's going to leave a legacy that will be unmatched by pretty much anyone else.
Definitely, and it's something that, there's not many people that can, that actually do pass away and die and can say, I've impacted a whole lot of people. Like, we're talking thousands, maybe tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. Because without bodybuilding, a lot of these other sports and stuff would be in different kind of states, I guess, perhaps muscle wouldn't be as prevalent today, without the life of Joe and Ben Weider. So, it's a pretty massive deal. And, I never really knew, like, his I mean, we kind of got an idea of his net worth after he died, and it was like, it was many, many, many millions. And I was, I mean, I wasn't, I mean, oh yeah, I was kind of surprised, I guess, that it was so much, Mick. I mean, obviously these guys, you know, they obviously, you know, love bodybuilding, but they made a lot of money out of it.
Oh, he built an empire, mate. I'll back up everything Scotty said then. I mean, I was actually fighting with you to maybe get this higher, but Scott's pretty much right with everything he said. Scott and I were both at the Olympia this year, and I think Betty's speech on stage was awesome. You know, I've been to Olympia quite a few times where Joe's been, you know, in health and been able to get up there and have a speech and stuff. And it's not until you see some of that and the amount of people that actually love him over there, it's unbelievable. He's such a popular person, and it's not until you see something like a crowd stand up and give him an ovation that you can see how much he's really loved. Yeah, it's a pretty sad death, but yeah.
Yeah, but when someone obviously has a long life like that, and they live it pretty full, you know what I mean? Like, they live it pretty... I mean, you know, he wasn't like he was short on cash or anything like that. I mean, you've got to kind of... Obviously, it's sad for the bodybuilding community, but, you know, anyone that lives a long, illustrious life like that, it definitely should be celebrated, and people shouldn't be too, you know, I suppose, sad about it. But moving on, we'll move on to number four. Now, this one, I mean, some people really wouldn't even put this in there or wouldn't even think of it, but Dexter Jackson's year was absolutely sensational. This guy, like, basically, we put it in here as Dexter Jackson's ageless, because he is, you know, he's almost on the wrong side of 40 right now, and he is notching out pro wins, and not only pro wins, but he won the Arnold Classic, and then came out, looked a little bit better in Australia, and he went on to, you know, do really well at the Olympia, and then obviously go on to win the Tijuana Pro and stuff like that as well. I mean, what a year it's been for Dexter Jackson, man.
I mean, he's had a great year. We spoke about this last week on the show. Now, Dexter's done 65 IFBB Pro shows, and out of them, he's won. Out of those 65, he's placed top six in 59. That'll never be matched. No one's going to break that record. He's got four Arnold Classic wins. He's got numerous Australian titles. He's got a Mr. Olympia. I don't think there's a comp that he hasn't won. And again, I see him in golds train a fair bit. You look at his skin. His skin's just—it's still perfect for a guy that age. He may have slipped off a little bit a couple of years ago, just slightly. And most of us thought, you know, and we thought, okay, maybe this is his time to sort of slide down the ranks a bit. But he's moved out to LA. He's training with Charles Glass, and he's coming back better than ever. I don't think Dexter's going to be placing top three or four in the Olympia again, but he's definitely going to stay top six maybe for a couple more years.
Yeah, I mean, he can do it as well. I mean, like, the way, you know, he kind of fell off for a little bit there. And then he hooked up George Farah and Charles Glass, and he seems to turn absolutely everything around. Do you think that was kind of what he needed, Scotty? You know, that change-up from, I think it was, Craig McNeil? Or is that his name? Craig
Joe
McNeil?
Joe McNeil.
Joe McNeil, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be. Like, he'd lost his way a little bit, and whether he needed to kick up the arse and be told to shovel down some more food, he attributes it largely to that, or whether he just needed a reality check and had to go see Charles Glass and get pushed a little bit more in the gym. I'm not sure. It's probably a combination of all those factors. But the fact is that Dexter got back to pretty much his best. You know, he's just an amazing symmetrical bodybuilder who has the ability to dial it in time after time in numerous comps over the course of the year. And that's the thing that's most impressive about Dexter's year is that he won the first comp and the last comp, didn't he? He won the Arnold, and then he won the last comp, and he did comps in between. That may be another little slice of history that's Dexter's and Dexter's alone as well. So he's unbelievable for his age, but he's just unbelievable.
Yeah, he's absolutely sensational. And, yeah, like you said, not only for his age, but at any age, he is a sensational bodybuilder. And I think perhaps, you know, like, I don't know, I see his pictures at shows, and sometimes I think, you know, like everyone, I think everyone kind of gets bored with Dexter sometimes, and they say, oh, you know, it's the same Dexter, it's Dexter again, you know. But when you see him in person, I don't think you can appreciate his physique until you see it in person. I don't know if that's just me, but I get that impression big time when I see Dexter. So he definitely deserves that number four spot. Now, moving on, number three, Generation Iron. This was such a heavily anticipated movie coming out. It was going to be about bodybuilding. It had, you know, heaps of stars in there. We had Phil Heath, we had Kai Greene, we had Ben Kolsky, we had Hidetada Yamagishi, we had Dennis Wolfe, we had Branch Warren, I mean, Rolly Winkler. So we had quite a list of bodybuilders in there. And, I mean, both of you guys have seen it, and I haven't. So I'm very disappointed about that because the Australian, I believe it's going to be an Australian release, but it's not going to be until 2014, I believe, in January or February or something. So I've still got to wait, and there's been no it hasn't been uploaded anywhere online as far as I know, which is slightly unfortunate. But, I mean, this movie, I mean, it made a real impact, it seemed to, at the Olympia. With, I mean, you could tell by the crowd, there was just huge cheers for Kai Greene. It seemed like Kai Greene really came off as a good guy in this movie.
Yeah, it did a world of good for Kai because he was portrayed as the underdog. He was the battler that had to overcome, you know, Phil Heath, which was, it came across as maybe a little bit spoiled or whatever. So, yeah, it did Kai a world of good. I don't know how you portrayed the other guys. Portrayed Hidetama Yamagishi's wife as a bitch. Dennis Wolf.
Oh, really?
Dennis Wolf is a bit of a nuff nut, and Branch Warren is uncoordinated. So beyond that, it's worse. Any modern day bodybuilding fan will love it. It's not going to have the far reaching appeal of a popping eye because none of the guys have that level of charisma, but. The way they edited it down, Kai, it made him sort of sound semi-intelligent, so it was good for his image.
Yeah, I think Kai has, I think he's perfect for a movie like this, and I had a feeling before when this movie was going to come out that Kai was always going to come across as the guy that everyone likes, and that kind of seemed to go away. I mean, Mick, you could, from all accounts, I heard that, you know, Kai was really the popular one at the Olympia. How much of an effect did you think this had? Because obviously the movie just came out just before that Mr. Olympia.
Huge amount. And I think it was the first day we got to LA. Scott, myself, and my cousin and his wife and Jimmy, we went and watched it. What I do remember is Scott snoring a fair bit and me waking him up. And this tiny little hot dog he was eating, which was pretty fucking funny, actually. But they obviously went to town on Phil, I think. They've shown photos, the movie showing Phil dressed in his robe, laying in his bathtub, standing in front of all these expensive cars. And then they switched to Kai, training in the dungeon, living out of some little shack at home, which, now, 2 days after the Olympia, when we shot with Phil Heath and I was there with Charles, and Phil was, mate, he didn't shut up about it. He goes, fucking, they've made me look like, you know, I've had everything handed to me. And then he's saying, Kai doesn't even live in this house. He's loaded. So they may have changed the story around a bit just to get that little bit of friction between the two people, but as Scotty said, when Kai came out of the Olympia, in all the Olympias I've ever been to, I've never heard a crowd get behind someone like that before. There's no way this has come close to pumping iron, but, it's the first real bodybuilding documentary we've had out in a long, long time, and I loved it. I will admit I did drop off a couple of times too, but that was from jet lag. But yeah, the standouts for me, clearly, and wait till you watch this, Xavier, and you'll know why Scott and I laugh about this, is the Dennis Wolf part and Branch Warren falling off the horse. I mean, I still laugh when I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis Wolf went on, I think it was Pro Bodybuilding Worldwide or something, or maybe it was MB Radio or something like that. And Bob Gigarella was always bagging out Dennis Wolf to his face about his role in that movie and giving crap to his acting skills and all this type of stuff. And Dennis seems like a good sport and he laughs it off. Yeah. I mean, that would fucking, it pissed me off if I was Dennis Wolf.
I can safely say we will not be seeing Dennis Wolf in any movie anytime soon.
Didn't he say he wanted to do movies like maybe a few years ago?
Yeah, that was his goal. I don't know. I just remember looking at Scott going, what the fuck?
So you don't think that's his goal anymore?
It shouldn't be.
If it is, he's delusional. Dennis, if you listen to this.
I doubt it is. Now, let's move on to Generation 9. Number 2, coming in at number 2, Jay Cutler's comeback. Now, this one was a huge story throughout the year. You know, will he come back? Won't he come back? There was actually one of the biggest stories that I loved about this was the whole Sean Ray thing. Now, Sean, I mean, it seems weird because obviously Sean is with muscular development, Jay Cutler's with muscular development, and you know, Sean last the year before was saying, oh, Jay might compete, and when it was quite obvious Jay wasn't going to compete. I mean, anyone could kind of tell that by looking at pictures and all that kind of stuff. And this year, Sean went the opposite way and said basically he didn't think Jay was going to compete. He's going to get 2 weeks out, or he wasn't going to pull out before that, and he's going to say, oh, I don't look good enough, or whatever. And he was convinced that Jay wasn't going to compete, and he kept on. That, I mean, every episode of his radio show, everywhere he was, you know, talked about it, he basically said Jay didn't think Jay was going to compete, didn't he? Jay had it and all this other stuff. And I love that Jay Cutler came back and in one of his articles in MD said, Sean Ray, fuck you, or something like that. And I love that because, I mean, I don't think a lot of people out there don't like Sean Ray. I know people personally don't like Sean Ray. And I think everyone kind of really enjoyed that, and I think that actually helped Jay's popularity. I don't know what you think about it, Mick, but I found it pretty amusing.
I was a massive fan of Sean's physique, still am, back in the day. But the more he opens his mouth, the more I just cringe. And there was no need for him to get on Jay's back the way he did. And when Jay came out and said that, you know, fuck you, Sean, then Sean's gone on the radio show saying, well, Jay's clearly got me in his mind, he should be focused on Olympia. It was just shit that didn't need to be said. The Cutler hype this year was unlike anything I've ever seen, and obviously due to social media has helped him. It was like a juggernaut coming to this comp. Everything was about Jay. It was everywhere you went, you heard about Jay. The internet boards, the, you know, Facebook, the radio shows, the magazines. It was to me, I love Jay. I'm a massive Jay fan. I think his marketing skills are brilliant. He's set himself up well and truly for life. Yeah, I sat back and just took everything in, mate, and I could not wait. Knowing that I was going to be at Olympia, I just could not wait to be there and witness it myself.
Yeah, definitely, and it was just a massive, like you said, it was like a juggernaut. Like, it didn't stop. Every week, I think, we talked about something, either me and Scott or you and me, Mick, something about Jay Cutler, what was happening. We saw pictures come out, we heard this rumour, Sean Ray said this. That, you know, it seemed to be something every week we talked about Jay Cutler, and when I was doing the show notes, I was almost embarrassed to put, I just left Jay Cutler news in there. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Jay Cutler news, Jay Cutler pictures, you know, Jay Cutler this. So it was something that didn't stop, and it was an exciting story to kind of follow. And, I mean, Jay made a lot of people believers that he could have won this Olympia, Scotty.
Yeah, he did. It was brilliantly orchestrated because it was... is he going to do it? Isn't he going to do it? Okay, he's going to do it, but is he going to be at his best? He's not working with Chad Nichols anymore. He's working with Chris Aceto, who was the man that brought him in at his all-time best. You know, there was so many little twists and turns to the story. And in the beginning, I sort of thought, especially when he was doing his massive tour with BPI, you know, I was thinking, oh, man, there's no way he's going to be at his best. But then he'd strategically release a little photo, and you think, oh, man, actually, he probably is going to be at his best. And, you know, how good could he be? You know, he's the only guy that can totally dwarf Phil Heath. Maybe he's got the type of physique that can overthrow him. And I was totally sold on it. By the time of the show, I was a Jay Cutler believer. And part of that was just because of the legacy he would have left and the story it would have created if he'd won a fifth title. But in the end, it wasn't meant to be. But if it was truly a marketing ploy, and I think it 90% was, it was just brilliantly orchestrated. I think Jay is on another level when it comes to promoting himself as a brand. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously his brand is very strong, and he's obviously got his supplement line now that's in conjunction with BPI, and he's obviously doing good things. I mean, he's probably not at the level where Ronnie Coleman is at with his signature series and stuff, but obviously that's been going a bit longer. So, I mean, I think he's going to be hopefully coming out for FedEx next year in March. So that would be very, I mean, he's such a popular bodybuilder that no matter if he won that fifth one or he didn't win it, he's still going to have the same lineup wherever he goes. So, you know, maybe it means something in his head. You know, he really wanted that fifth one, but in reality, it's not going to change much apart from just a small amount of legacy, I guess.
Have you guys seen his late, I think it's maybe done a year ago or the start of this year, his DVD Living Large?
No, I haven't.
Check it, or even Google. Go onto YouTube, and there's a four-part series. Have a look at that.
Oh, no, I've seen that, yeah. I saw that on...
That shows Jay at a whole different level. I sat there. I've always been a fan of Jay, but I watched that. It goes for about an hour, and I just sat back, and it just changed. But I even had a greater view of Jay. I mean, what he does is brilliant for the sport.
That's honestly... if anyone hasn't watched that, I mean, promoting videos at other sites and stuff is probably... I mean, some people say that's stupid, but I don't care. I mean, it's one of the best... it's one of the most well done, like video type things I've seen online. You know, it's just absolutely free. Like, I remember, like, there's a few that kind of stand out. Like the Kai Green one is he's getting ready for that first Arnold Classic that he won, where he's training in Golds. Like, that was awesome. And there's a few other ones that really stand out. But that one is probably my favourite of all time. Did you see that one, Scotty?
Yeah, I think I've seen all of Jay's videos. Yeah, he looks man. He does look ridiculous in that one, but. I don't know, the thing with Jay is that every one of his videos, they're kind of monotonous and boring, yet you can't look away. I don't know what it is about him, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like, I've watched every one of them, probably like three or four times, and it's the same monotone voice. And I've watched him go to Costco and buy fish and whatever else. And for some reason, I'm just intrigued by him.
He intrigues you as a person, kind of thing. Like, a lot of people like that, Kai Greene. I know you're not, Scotty, but it's kind of.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's. You are. What's that?
No, I'm not either. We're cool.
Oh,
no, I can't.
Why? I am. Okay. No, I know a lot of people are anyway. But, for some reason, I mean, this video series is a little bit more interesting because it goes through like four different parts and they're all about 15 minutes or so. And they're just, I don't know, you get a real, I don't know, they seem to really capture it really well and get a real in-depth look on his, you know, on his thought process and where his head's at and all that type of stuff and all the therapies he does and all that kind of stuff. So it's a bit more, if you want to watch something and not sit there for 5 hours, like some of his old DVDs, I'd recommend you on bodybuilding.com and look for that one. But moving on to our number one story, international story of the year, and it's none other than the 2013 Mr. Olympia. This was perhaps the most anticipated Mr. Olympia of all time. And if it was not the most anticipated, it was definitely one of the most. So we had all those, I mean, we kind of had a lot of the stories coming together. I mean, we had Jay's comeback there. We had Kai Greene. Was he, you know, there's a lot of stories coming out. Was he going to be, you know, behind? I mean, it started to look that way for a lot of the time. We had Big Ramy, who didn't even make the top five in our list, which I kind of protested for a little bit, but, I mean, he could have easily made that list as well because he was a massive story. You know, can he win it, his first go out? We had Phil Heath. I mean, he's obviously the story of it. He came in, he took his third title, I believe? And he was stood back in the pre-judging, which, by himself, which means, you know, we had everyone else battling it out, but he was stood back, and that basically said, Phil Heath, that's your third Mr. Olympia. And Jay Cutler made comment that he said something like, that's massive. Like, you know, for someone to be stood back, it means it's basically a foregone conclusion. And I would have personally liked to have seen him still up there, so it would make the finals a little more exciting. But it was definitely a massive, massive Olympia. And Mick, I mean, you know, to be stood back in a lineup like that, that's huge.
Mate, there's no doubt about it. This Olympia, was it the 49th Mr. Olympia, was the most anticipated one for me, maybe in the last 15 or so years or 20 years. I mean, there were so many of us going over to watch it. Well, not you, Zaz, but most of us. And we were all like, mate, I've been a few times that I was like a little school kid. I could not wait to get over this Olympia. And there was so much hype about Ramy. There was so much hype about the battle between Kai and Phil, Jay's comeback. A lot of the new guys on the block. We were going back and forth on the boards, giving our predictions left, right, and centre. I was pretty much right down the front. And when Phil walked out and the others around me, he had it in the bag. He brought a level of conditioning with the size and the fullness. So he pretty much nailed everything you needed to. Looked confident as hell compared to last year. Did that one comparison and they put him back. It doesn't get more dominating than that. That's his third Mr. O win. And if he keeps producing that sort of a look, I don't know if anyone will be able to top him off in the next couple of years. I don't see Ramy getting up there maybe in the next year or two. So, mate, Phil could be up there for a while. But the whole spectacle of that Olympia, the expo, the seminars that go on with it, the 212s, the bikini, the fitness, it's something that I think every bodybuilder needs to experience at least once.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I can't wait to experience it. But Scotty, I mean, was this your first Olympia?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, remember you were pretty excited about it. You said you was like a little kid or something, like going over there. And Mick obviously did that good deed where he let you into the, he gave you his things, his press credentials and stuff, and let you into the press conference, was it?
Yeah,
let me into the press conference, which was pretty awesome. It was very, very generous of Mick. I do owe you for that one. The Olympia was absolutely awesome. It was embarrassing how excited I was about it heading over there, and it didn't disappoint in any way. There were, you know, some surprises like Dennis Wolfe, who I doubt any of us tipped to be top six. There are a few disappointments like Mick Galley's, lack of ability to follow through on the partying and things like that. But beyond that, it delivered in every possible way. The 212s were crazy. We were, smart enough to go check them out at the pre-judging. And you kind of needed to see them at the pre-judging to realize how good Flex Lewis was, I think, because when they all come out individually and you see them individually and don't get as many comparisons, some of these guys look incredible. Eduardo Correa and David Henry standing by themselves could be the 212 Mr. Olympia. But when you put him next to Flex, who's just the complete package, he really dominates. Look, Rami, who I was really high on leading into it, although I do take a little bit of... I'm not sure that you pushed for him to get in the top five, Xavier. I think you pushed him out of the top five, didn't you? I think all of us had him in there, but you.
No, Mick didn't have him in there.
I was pushing him the last couple of days. I don't know. I just... Yeah.
Mick wanted him out, so...
Well, there you go. Look, Rami showed an amazing frame, an amazing amount of muscle, but he showed just how far behind he was from the top-level guys from a detail and polish standpoint. It honestly looked like he was years away, which is kind of ridiculous when you think it's a conditioning issue, but there just wasn't nearly as much going on in his physique as there was in the top guys. So it was really interesting to see. Phil dominated, mate. No mistake. He absolutely dominated the show, and I thought it was fantastic that they sent him back. I think if you can dominate a show to that degree, it'd be such a clear first that it's a sign of respect. And I think the exact quote from Jay Cutler was, it was serious business. When they stand you back at the pre-judging, that is serious business. And it was serious because he took the most anticipated, deepest lineup of all time and blew it away. So I was just really privileged to be there and to see it because it was the combination of Phil at his biggest and at his hardest all at once, and it's unbeatable when he's at that. He was so far in front of Kai Greene. The battle was second and third, Kai Greene, Dennis Wolf. Kai was savvy enough to make it appear to be a battle for first and second at the finals, but it never was. Phil was first and Daylight was second. So it was an awesome show, and it's one that when you guys look back on it, like you do with the other Mr. Olympias in your... other segment you do, you'll look back on it and you'll see the 14th place guy and the 13th place guy and you'll go, man, that guy was a fantastic bodybuilder. So, you know, we can only hope we get Olympians of that caliber again in the future.
Yeah, and those guys you're talking about, it's like guys like Victor Martinez, Cedric McMillan and guys of that nature, and they were good. Like, I mean, Cedric, I mean, he didn't get the credit from the Olympia, but he was good. So, mate, I mean...
Those guys are top-level pros. I mean, Victor's won, you know, Arnold Classic, second the Olympia. Branch was out of the top 10. There were some big, big names out of that top 10, mate. And Scotty's right. I mean, years down the track, we're going to look back on this and go, oh, that lineup, that's probably the most stacked lineup I've seen and probably the most anticipated in the last few years. But, Zave, just saying what Scotty said, just those little things. Scott and I were at the pre-judging for the 212s at the Expo. And I remember, I mean, I was as excited as Scott was, and Tony Doherty was there running backstage and then back to us, telling us how Flex Lewis looked. And I remember some of the 212. Do you remember, Scotty, some of them coming out, especially, I think, who was it? Was it Jose who did the back double by or one of the boys? We just kept on sitting there in disbelief with some of these guys, how they looked. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was. If there was one man more excited than us, it probably was Tony Doherty. And it was probably... I think he just loved having a couple of mates there that he could just rub it in. What a good time he had, and he's free, all access pass to anywhere and everywhere. Then he run off and hang out with Steve Weinberger or Jim Mannion or something like that, and then he go con David Henry into coming out to FedEx or something like that. He was just absolutely on a mission and on a real high. But, the 212s were incredible. It was great to see them in the flesh. You know, they probably deserve more credit and more exposure than what they get because they are absolutely phenomenal. It's just the fact that they're a few inches shorter than the open guys, but everything else about them, and in particular their conditioning, every bit as good as the open guys or better.
Yeah, and I think the top three or four of those guys in the 212s could make the Open Olympia. So, I mean, quite easily. So it's not that they're not good enough. And obviously, guys like David Henry and Flex Lewis obviously would be shoo-ins to make the Olympia, in my opinion. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when Flex obviously does decide to move up. But I want to mention as well, obviously, Phil Heath, you know, we said, you know, obviously he stood back and he won this one convincingly, but he won it under duress as well. Like, his wife had breast cancer throughout the year. I'm not sure if it's his stepfather or is his biological father or it was both, that had health issues as well. And yeah, so he had a rough year, and for him to come at his best, I mean, it's not going to be easy. I mean, obviously we've just treated it like work and we've just gone at it, but it's pretty amazing what he did that, Mick.
Shows what a true champion he is. I mean, obviously the speech he made on stage was pretty emotional speech, and you could tell, I mean, no one really wants to go through that in their family. And you can only imagine how it would have been trying to stick on a diet, you know, do all that thing and then look after his wife too. But, mate, give him credit. A lot of people have, you know, they've all thought Phil may have been a paper champion at the start and not that mentally tough. He's showed how tough he is. And another one along those lines, I know the day after the Olympia, Scott did a shoot looking after Phil and that with Charles Lothian, and I did it the next day. I don't know, Scott, if you were there, but the day I did it, Rammy was doing a separate shoot with someone. Now, they both had their shirts off, and like you said on stage, you could tell. Now, these guys were right next to each other, Phil and Rammy, shirts off. The difference then next to each other was incredible. Phil was so much rounder, fuller, genetically so much better, whereas Rammy, okay, Rammy's massive, and there's no doubt about it. He's got a ton of muscle on him, but he just doesn't have the lumps and the bumps that Phil does, and he may never get that look. That's what really, I stood back and I sat with Charles and I went, can you see the difference? And it just stood out.
Yeah, and it's funny, I mean, because he did do so well in New York Pro, Big Rammy, and obviously, you know, he didn't live up to it at the Olympia, but, he, you know, the stories that came out was he's only trained for 3.5 years or 4 years or whatever it was.
Yeah, 4 years.
Before his first Olympia. And to place eighth, I mean, I think it was a deserving eighth as well, maybe it could have been seventh, is a massive, massive achievement. I think with another few years of training under his belt, you know, if you take that 3.5 years and turn it into 5.5 or 6.5 years, then it's going to be interesting to see how his physique kind of develops. But it might take those few years for him to kind of really hit his stride and be an Olympic contender.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, I mean, there were so many stories that came out of it, like Rowley. You know, like, I didn't anticipate Rowley being top 10. I probably would have thought he'd be, you know, 15th or something like that. And he legitimately should have beaten Jay. You know, Dexter once again, like, just nailing down a top five position in one of the greatest Olympia lineups of all time. It's crazy. I personally thought he could have beaten Roden. There's just everywhere you look, there was stories. You know, whether it be Branch Warren or you know, getting another gift or whatever it may be. Yeah, it was just a crazy, crazy show. And another thing was, you know, Aaron and Nicole Wilkins. You know, Nicole Wilkins comes from seemingly, you know, a place where she just lost it. You know, she was getting beaten at the New York Pro by Swan Cardo. And then, you know, just a few short months later, she's back at possibly her all-time best and beating Aaron Stern. So there was so much going on at that show. The bikini, which was totally flip-flopped. All of a sudden, there was a changing of the guard that no one anticipated. Stories everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all these stories has made for one of the craziest Olympias of all time. Like, it was just... And, yeah, obviously that flip-flop between Aaron Stern and Nicole Wilkins continues. And, I mean, it's going to be hard to see Aaron Stern coming back next year and topping what Nicole Wilkins brought, because it was absolutely sensational. But on that note, guys, we're going to head to a break. That is our top 10... our top five each of the international and Australian bodybuilding stories of 2013. Now we're going to head to a quick break and we're going to be back for our last segment.
Thermobaran and Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP, we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training, knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Scott Goble and Michael Galley once again, and we're here to wrap up the show. Now, we've got a little bit of news to talk about. We have some FedEx signings. We've got some pro qualifier news as well. Now, the FedEx signings kind of were released this week, and we've got some good ones there. So we've got Sean Roden. That's, for me, my favourite signing. I don't think you'd get a signing I'd enjoy much more than that. So we've got Sean Roden coming out to Australia to compete in the Australian Pro Grand Prix 1 week after the Arnold Classic. We've got Miss Olympia Bikini, the new Miss Olympia Bikini, Ashley Coltwasser. She's coming out. She's going to be competing at FedEx, slash the Australian Pro, in 2014 in March. And we've got some good appearances too. We've got Dana Lynn Bailey, who's crazy popular. I'm sure we'll have probably just as big lines as, you know, Ronnie Coleman and Jay Cutler and stuff. We've got Ronnie Coleman. I believe we've got Jay Cutler, and hopefully we've got Phil Heath. We've got boxer Danny Green coming out. We've got Lane Norton, Scotty, he's going to be insanely popular, I imagine. We've also got Charles Poliquin, and we've got Chris Gethin. So, there's some massive names there that are just going to, these are attendance-drawing names.
Yeah, look, like I said, tip of the iceberg stuff. These are the people that Tony's had pretty much locked in for 2 months, and he's just been finalising some, you know, details. So there's that much more that's eventuated since then. He's just building on this amazing foundation. So, yeah, whether you're there to educate yourself with the guys that likes of Poliquin and Norton and Chris Gethin, or it doesn't matter what you're a fan of. If you're a bikini fan, you got the best. If you're a bodybuilding fan, look, Sean Roden's almost the best. Trust me, there'll be some Mr. Olympias in attendance. You know, your women's physique, hey, you've got the reigning Miss Olympia. You can't do much better than that. He's about to make some massive strongman announcements. It is absolutely going off. I mean, we're pretty lucky because FedEx is being run a week after one of the best Arnold Classic lineups in years. So you can be sure the men's bodybuilding will be at an absolutely crazy level.
Definitely, definitely. I absolutely can't wait for it. Now, is Flex Lewis going to be coming out for Gaspari, Scotty?
That is my understanding, yes. Now, whether he's on stage or not, I don't know 100%. But I do believe he's in attendance. Again, look, you know, most of these announcements are made once Tony has signatures and flights and visas and absolutely everything sorted. So at this stage, yeah, Flex has said he wants to be here. Gaspari has said Flex is going to be here. Just waiting on the paperwork, I guess.
Confirmation, yeah. We can't confirm that, but obviously, yeah, it's in the works. But speaking on that, we saw a picture of, I don't know if you saw it, Scotty, yet, but we saw a picture of Flex Lewis from just a day or two ago, and we posted on the RX Muscle Australia Facebook page, and Mick, he is looking absolutely out of control 9 weeks out at the first 212 Arnold Classic.
He is looking nuts, mate. And it's like he's had a perfect rebound from the Olympia. He's obviously done all the right things, hasn't taken any time off. He looks so, so full. It's a real different look to Flex than I think I've seen yet. So I can't see anyone beating him at the Arnold Classic, whether or not he's competing or not in Australia. I mean, I don't think it really matters. Flex is probably one of the most likeable pros on the circuit. He's got time for everyone. I always see him happy. Yeah, brilliant sort of guy. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this comp, and I've been looking forward to it like you since the last one. And after hearing Scotty tonight about what's going to be announced soon, this is going to be a cracker.
Yeah, I'm extremely. And everyone kind of says like, oh, you know, like it, when I say I'm excited for FedEx, everyone thinks I mean competing. I'm excited to go and watch. So it's going to be absolutely insane. And obviously the Arnold Classic is going to be huge. So I'm pumped for both of those shows. I mean, I'm pumped to just sit down and relax and watch the Arnold Classic a week before going out to FedEx. So that's going to be absolutely awesome. Then obviously FedEx the next weekend will top everything off. So one more bit of news. Tony Sedati, I mean, you confirmed, or you said this to us before we actually recorded today, Scotty. Tony Sedati is in the pro qualifier at under 212, as far as you know, and apparently he's looking insane. I mean, apparently he's kind of, you know, he's training like he's going to be in a pro qualifier.
Yeah, he's training like it and he's talking like it. He's told Tony he's doing it and he's told me he's doing it. He's at his all-time heaviest off-season weight, and Tony Sedati just doesn't get fat. So he is walking around looking like a cartoon character. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because this year he discovered conditioning to go with his cartoonish size. He really could shake things up there. I mean, the first time he did the pro qualifier, which was against Abe and Dave Cutler, he wasn't anywhere near his best. And he's obviously learnt from that and rededicated himself. So I'm pretty excited to see what he can bring. He is an absolute freak. And, you know, even Johnny Jackson, when he was at the Vic, said, why isn't this guy a 212 pro when he saw him? He's just got that cartoonish muscle. So should be good.
Yeah, definitely. And I can't wait to see what he looks like.
I'm excited to see him on stage. I can't wait, especially after what Scotty's just said. This guy's he's a freak in every sense of the word.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I haven't seen him in person. I saw him compete a few years ago at the pro qualifier, but he probably wasn't 100% at his best there. And he looked impressive. I mean, he was impressive on stage. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he looks like with that hopefully really good conditioning and added size. I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting with him being up against maybe the likes of David Cutler, Gretchy, and a few others. So I absolutely can't, and maybe Adam Browner and stuff as well. So I absolutely cannot wait for that. And I just want to mention before we wrap up the show, I went to see Anchorman 2 on the weekend. I got to see
future RX Muscle Girl co-host, Amy Fox. I got to see her ad before that movie. Have you seen it, Mick?
Yeah, I did. I think someone might have posted it on... They took a bit of footage with it with their phone and put it up on Facebook. That's awesome. Amy's such a great girl, and, you know, to see her do something like that, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's cool. Have you seen it, Scotty?
I still haven't seen it. I'll check out the link as soon as we go off here.
Yeah, it's good. It's basically, yeah, she's basically, Svetlana 3000, where she's got, like, a little moustache, and she's just, yeah, she's, like, kind of a highlight of the ad, which is cool, so...
Scotty, while we've got you on air as our fellow RX member, and you know we've been competing with each other for a long, long time, you're now my pick that there's two divisions in this pro qualifier. Give me your honest appraisal right now of yourself. Where do you see yourself placing?
I see myself winning it, Mick.
Good. That's it. No, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. That's brilliant.
I like it.
Yeah.
I was wondering what was going to come out of your mouth then, Mick. It was very abrupt.
I'm good, man. No. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I wanted to hear, actually.
Just surprised me. That's good. Now, that's pretty much it for the show this week. We could have included a bit more stuff, but we're all kind of a bit busy at the moment. So we're going to wrap it up there, and we're going to save a lot of this stuff for the next week because we've got, you know, we could have talked about a little heap more stuff. We're back with all the usual segments next week, and I wish everyone a happy 2014. Now, I encourage everyone to share the radio show, rate us, review us on iTunes, because that really does help us, and we've been killing it on iTunes as well. We're in the top 150 in our category, so we want to get in the top 100. So find us on Instagram, Facebook, just we're at RX Muscle Australia on Instagram, and you can just type in RX Muscle Australia on Facebook. Now, I want to thank our sponsors before we wrap it up: Gripped Fitness Accessories, ATP Sciences, My Muscle Chef. They all just close. I believe they actually closed over Christmas, so don't quote me on that, though. You can check out their website. Muscle Nutrition. The show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition, great sponsor at RX Muscle Australia. Bulknutrients.com.au. International Protein, owned by Christine Enville. Cast Nutrition. And also, of course, Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. That's it, folks. What's fuck that noise?
Wait, sorry, mate. I had to come to the front of the shop. Is it a blow on a gale there or something? What the hell?
I'm going to record that again. That sounds so bad.
How did cars just drive past? Sorry.
What an ending. I reckon you leave this as an ending. I reckon it's just beautiful.
Okay. Well, I want to mention...
It's all poetic that Mick just sabotages the show, right?
Yeah. Just right at the end, right before we finish.
From one job to another.
When we go to a break, we're congratulating ourselves on how professional we are. Mick walks out to the middle of a highway.
Oh my god. Anyway, I'm leaving all this in, so I want to thank Mass Nutrition. I don't think they got heard. And Species Nutrition, obviously the main sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. So for episode number 87 of RX Muscle Australia, of Aussie Muscle Radio, remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop.
Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermal Burn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different. The ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com